This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire.
If Albert Einstein was alive today and as a kid, I guarantee you they either would have locked him up and put him into a mental hospital or an out-treatment patient facility, or I can just about guarantee that a young boyish Albert Einstein, based on a diagnosis of what we know his personality traits were, they would have had him on very powerful, multiple mind-altering drugs, ADD drugs, maybe bipolar drugs, and a whole bunch of other stuff. They would have doped him up. Okay, why? Because Albert Einstein was a super genius that did not think in conventional terms. He thought outside of the box. But notice how he acted even in his adult life. He would be so caught up in his physics theories that he would walk out the door of his apartment all the time, forget the number on the doorway to his address, which most people who think inside the shoebox would never forget, and he forgot which door was his apartment. So he was constantly walking outside, forgetting his keys, because he was caught up in his physics theories, and then he couldn't remember which door was his in a row of apartments, and which was the number for his address. Now, just by that behavior alone, he may have been given certain drugs. But then he had other peculiarities. Not craziness, just peculiarities. Not remembering all kinds of things. Not being socially inept to the point of thinking there was something wrong with him. And yet there was nothing wrong with him. He was just cut from a different cloth. He was a super genius that, you know, created the formula E equal MC squared. And his mind was so focused in on this higher level thinking that he appeared, no disrespect to people, he appeared like retarded or regressed in other areas. And there are many other people like that today, and they would just drug him because their diagnostic techniques are very flawed, because they're designed to measure somebody's psychological wholeness and health based on the average mind, which is kind of like a pre-programmed, my consciousness is in a little tiny shoebox mind. And anybody who doesn't, anybody's mind who does not calibrate to that mundane shoebox mind is considered abnormal. But he was not abnormal. What's abnormal is the testing procedure. So you have to be very careful, because you don't want to give ADD medication, etc., to people that they don't need it. You need to find a healthier educational alternative. I don't want to get on that forever, but that's just a thought regarding that. Now, going back to ancient societies, in modern times, we have, for example, the military, all branches of the military, not just in the United States, but in Russia and China and other places. They're using all kinds of drugs, mind-altering drugs. They're using all kinds of advanced computer technology, advanced microwave technology that can super enhance human performance intellectually and on the battlefield. All right. So now that is debatably beneficial, depending upon, you know, what they're using it for. But prior to that, when we go back into ancient history, ancient civilizations, remember there was two primary categories of mankind. There were the children of God, who became ancient Israel, who later on became the people that God gave the Ten Commandments to. And it was the ancient Israelites, or the children of Israel, that were given all these commands by God about how to live, think, practice, sexuality, marriage, family. God gave them commandments and guidelines in a vast array of areas in life. And to the degree that God's children, the children of Israel, obeyed God, worshiped God, and followed his precise principles in the word, God would supernaturally prosper that people in every facet of life, economics, childbirth, the military, crops, etc., etc. If they disobeyed God's precepts and his word, then they would be under a supernatural curse. Deuteronomy 28, the laws of the cursings and blessings. Now, God raised up the children of Israel to shine the light of his word, or the light of his truth, to the pagan nations. Pagan nations is just a fancy way of saying those nations who did not worship the true God, which is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the biblical God. But the pagan nations were those nations that worshiped false gods, idols, man-made gods, and in most cases, gods that symbolized Satan, Lucifer, and actual demonic entities. So the pagan nations were worshiping Satan and Lucifer, essentially. Now, the children of Israel were given a prescription, so to speak, on how to welcome, how to access the presence of God, how to create an environment that would be friendly to the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, how to experience a legitimate visitation from God, and how to have God pour out his Holy Spirit on ancient Israel. Now notice that very carefully. The ancient Israel, from the very beginning, going back to Adam and Eve at the very beginning, there's a similarity as you move into the New Testament with the birth of Christ, the ministry of Christ, where you see Christ perform miracles in the supernatural, and then eventually when the disciples meet in the upper room, there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit supernaturally, and Christ's followers are filled supernaturally with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of God. And God's presence comes down upon them in the same way that God's presence came down upon Solomon and all the workers and craftsmen and musicians when they were building the temple of Israel, known as Solomon's Temple. Now, those were the God. See, God created mankind to be enhanced, by the way. God created mankind to be filled with spiritual power, spiritual wisdom, spiritual anointing, to magnify the abilities that God placed in man to begin with. See, this is a principle of God's creation of mankind. But God designed mankind to have access to the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the presence of the Lord, the healing power of God, the power of God. This was to be accessed by specific rituals, specific acts of worship that God designed. Now, why did God do that? Because God understood that there was a competition for the hearts and minds of mankind. We have Lucifer, the fallen angels, and the devil warring against mankind. So if mankind or God's people did not worship God strictly according to the detailed instructions in the Word of God, God knew there was a danger that they would open up their inner spirit, their inner man, their marriages, their civilization, their society, the temple, if they didn't do it exactly the way God prescribed, and God built in protective mechanisms to keep out the devil, that they would open themselves up to demonic entrance, demonic possession, and the infiltration of Lucifer and his powers. Very important to understand this. So that's why the importance of the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. But God recognized, now you can't get lazy in your study of the Bible. We discover in the book of Genesis that in the beginning, God created man in the image of God. He created them both male and female. So we're created in the image of God, okay? And As such, we're triune beings. We are composed of a body, physical body, a soul, which is our memories and emotions, and a spirit, which is the spiritual part of our man, because we can have the Holy Spirit living in us. If we're non-believers, we can have a demonic spirit living in us, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But being temples of the Holy Spirit means that if we violate the holiness of God's word, if we violate the sanctification of God's word, if we violate the presence of God's word, yes, we're temples, but we will inadvertently be filled with a demonic presence, a habitation of demons. The imperative of grasping this truth in all its fullness is so essential and so undertaught in the body of Christ, but it is essential. You cannot be victorious, you cannot be released to be who God created you to be, unless you understand fully what I just described to you. Very important. Okay, so now we see that man is created as a body, soul, and spirit. And man has a choice, as we know. Man can receive Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior by faith, which means the Spirit of God can take up residence in our inner man or woman and regenerate our human spirit and make us born again. When that happens, the Holy Spirit of God fills our inner temple, fills it with the presence of God, the Word of God, and regenerates our human spirit so that we're born again. So Jesus Christ lives inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But if we neglect to do that, we leave the doors open in our inner temple, in our inner psychological being and body, for the entrance of demonic powers of Satan and Lucifer and an unholy presence, oppressive darkness. So what happens is, in a sense, we become temples, but not temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of the demonic. That's just the way God created us. We are multidimensional beings. And you have to get that, because you cannot see, if you want to stay in kindergarten and nursery school in the things of the Spirit, most churches in the world, in America, are giving a kindergarten nursery school curriculum to God's people. And that's why, tragically, God's people are impotent, powerless, in bondage, in captivity, and are not being released to be what they created to be, because they're not being fed with the meat of God's word. They're being given kindergarten, nursery school teaching. Is that you? No, I'm serious. Is that you? Is that where you go to church? Because I was visiting a church very recently, yesterday. And I get complaints from listeners in my program, people who speak to me in conferences all the time. I've been to tons of churches all over the United States. But it's been a while since I've been to another church service outside of the prophecy circles or my own church that I pastor, Paradise Mountain Church, which you're welcome to come to. We're having our next meeting September 20th, Thursday, September 20th. It's for free, but you need to register. We're going to have a powerful meeting. God's going to move. And you go to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, to register. You get a map. It's free. Parking's free. And guess what? God is there. So join me September 20th, Thursday. Now, here's the key thing. So I went to this church service, and I was talking to my wife afterwards, and I could not believe what I saw. I could not believe what I experienced, and I could not believe what I heard. Now, my wife and I, Chris, independently, because obviously we were trying not to be rude and talking during the service, we independently arrived at the same conclusion because we talked about it when we got outside. The sermon content was third grade at best, and the pastor was speaking down to the people on a third grade level. The biblical content of his message was, at least it was connected to the Bible, because I've been to some churches it's not connected to anything but the New Age. So, and I'm not in the habit of crediting pastors. I went in there and I prayed the whole time, Lord, don't let me be biased. Don't let me be prejudiced. Lord, I pray that you would open my eyes to see this how you see it, and don't allow any of my personal prejudices to get in the way. But it was a third grade biblical content sermon that it's just a sermon you would have given to a brand new believer in Jesus Christ. It was awful. No connection to reality. And that's why America, the truth of the matter is America is on the precipice of collapsing as a free nation, because the vast majority of the church is feeding on a diet of no spiritual power, no spiritual reality. And it was very disturbing, because it wasn't disturbing because it was just this pastor in that church. It's because that's the norm in American Christianity. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay, so, and by the way, when you're sitting as a born-again believer year after year after year in churches that are continuing to preach entirely on a third grade level and leaving all kinds of things out of the Word of God, you are opening the portals, because of your disobedience and not teaching the entire Word of God, you're opening the portals through your disobedience for demonic visitation. Now, when I say demonic visitation, I'm not saying that believers can get possessed. I'm saying that instead of having the presence of the Holy Spirit in your sanctuary, you have the presence of either, you either have two things. The presence of God is withdrawn, and the people don't even know it. And you know what happens when the presence of God is withdrawn from a church? The people most often don't even know it. And so they begin to fake it, and they get so used to faking and acting like the presence of God is there when he long ago departed, that it becomes grotesque. And I would say that's probably what we saw then. It was like grotesque. I wouldn't say it was demonic. Well, it was demonic because it wasn't like there were like demons going around. And I'm not saying Christians can be possessed, but I'm saying that these people had been faking it for so long, because I've been to that church before, that they didn't notice that the presence of the Holy Spirit picked up and walked out maybe 10 years ago. So they're bad acting. I'm not trying to be cruel. They're bad acting imitation of worshiping God when his presence is no longer there, which the Old Testament is filled with examples of, was grotesque and bordered on the demonic. I'm not saying that to be critical. That's a fact. Okay, that's a fact. Jesus Christ taught that powerful truth. He taught the truth that when somebody who is saved is delivered, okay, and let's say demons are cast out of them. Well, wait, I want to rephrase this, because I don't want to get into this argument about whether Christians can be demon-possessed or not. So let me rephrase the account with Jesus. Jesus taught that when people are in bondage spiritually, now exactly what he meant by that, that's open for some debate, but let's, for the sake of this discussion, assume that he means people are prayed for and delivered of all kinds of bondages, like immorality and all kinds of things. But the people who were prayed for are not necessarily born again, okay? Especially since Jesus Christ's earthly ministry only lasted 3 years, and he was praying for all kinds of people who had obviously been cleansed to whatever degree. but they were still in bondage in their inner selves. So let's assume that they were not born again, because Jesus didn't come until relatively recently to the people. But Jesus made the comment that when you clean a house, and he was talking about a temple or the temple in people's lives, their inner man or woman, when that house has been cleansed, because people are living for the Lord, but they backslide and they go back to their sinful lifestyles, Jesus Christ remarked that, and he was talking about the demonic, so I'll just leave that on the shelf between you and Jesus. He remarked that, and maybe he was referring to people that were not saved. So this is opens a whole topic of conversation which deserves an answer, but I can't give it to you in 3 minutes. So Jesus was remarking that people who were in bondage to all kinds of things, so let's assume they were not saved because Jesus only encountered them relatively recently, but they were delivered to whatever degree of all these sins and bondages. But then Jesus warned that when they walk away from their deliverance and they go back into the world and begin to repeat the same sins that got them in bondage to begin with, which could be participation in an occult and pagan worship, egregious sexual immorality, and all kinds of things. He warned the fact that when a house has been cleansed spiritually, and yet the doors are left open for the return of evil things, and I think he was referring to evil spirits, demons, that seven demons, far more powerful than the original demon, will return, and that the fate of that person will be far, far worse than had they never been cleansed or delivered before. This is a spiritual principle. Okay? So applying that principle to this church service, and I'm not saying the person, the pastor, was a bad man. I'm not saying that the people attending the church were bad men and women. I would probably say the pastor loved the Lord and most of the people there loved the Lord. But when you commit a spirit, when you violate a spiritual law, it has nothing to do with how good or not you are or how much you love the Lord or not. The mere violation of the spiritual law produces consequences, just like the law of gravity. So I would be willing to bet that that church at one time in its existence got birth through some kind of revival where God was moving in a significant way, and it caused people to join the church and finance the church and everything else. And so that church grew, even though it appeared to be stagnating now. That church grew numerically because of the revival that occurred in the church. And during that revival, I'm sure there were numbers of people that were saved. And at the very least, if not everybody was saved, there were numbers of people who began to leave their lifestyles of rebellion against God. And even if they weren't saved, they were attempting to walk in the ways of God. But what happens in the kingdom of God, you're either regressing or progressing. There's no such thing as status quo. So since the people in the church, I'm not judging all of them, but since a certain number of the people of the church were not progressing in the kingdom of God, they were not really being filled with the Spirit of God, sanctified in the Spirit of God, that they were in a regression position. And it's my speculative opinion that what happened was that the demons that were originally either externally oppressing, which is called demonization, versus demon possession when they're internally possession, that these powers of darkness came back upon the individuals in this church and the church itself collectively. Now, when that happens, the demonic foothold, whether we're talking about external demonization or internal demon possession, it comes back, Jesus said, seven times worse. So the bondage is seven times worse, even though there's the outward appearance of godliness. So everybody's acting spiritual and holy outwardly, but inwardly they've been stuck. They're not advancing in the kingdom of God. So what happens is demonic footholds come back far stronger than they were in the beginning, seven times worse. So what is usually the case, and I'm not saying it was the case with this particular church, please don't get me wrong, but what is usually the case is that when a person has been delivered, again, through external demonization or internal demon possession, and then they backslide secretly, okay? Outwardly, they're Christians, they're going to church. A darkness, a spiritual oppression moves into their lives, which ends up causing the individual believers in Jesus Christ to be snared by a whole range of deadly spiritual sins. Everything from anger and jealousy and the occult and witchcraft and Ouija boards and astrology and adultery and affairs and pornography and, you know, the whole list under the sun. Except now they have to hide it because they're Christians publicly going to church on Sunday. I'm not saying that's the case with this church, but I'm saying that's usually what happens. And so that is the price tag. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you are not advancing in the kingdom by pursuing Jesus, there's no status quo state. You're either advancing or you're regressing. And when people who go to church and their cultural, social life is built around the church, and they're no longer advancing in the kingdom of God, they're regressing, so they learn how to hide it. Superficially, they don't curse out loud in front of other people and stuff. But what's going on secretly is there's a lot of secret alcoholism and everything else because of this root spiritual principle. When your inner man or woman is not filled with the vital living force, the vibrant force of the Holy Spirit, okay, which is how God meant you to be created, then your inner man or woman, body, soul, and spirit, is going to seek a counterfeit satisfaction through something that is not of God. It's the law of the kingdom of heaven. So, we all need to be on guard about that. Now, where I want to go to here, and then we'll wrap up today's program, is to mention to you an essential biblical truth. And we'll do that in just a second. By the way, I believe so strongly that today's program is built, constructed for somebody you know to listen to. They need to hear it because what we're doing is we're addressing their life. But the only person who's going to get it into their hands is you. You've got to seek the Lord and say, Lord, who do you want me to send this to? And then send it to those people that need to hear it. Because guess what? If their hearts are open and you pray for them, they'll be set free. They can be used by God. So you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Okay, so the Bible teaches us that every man and woman is composed of a body, you know, your physical being, toes, muscles, heart, skin. You're composed of a body, soul, that's your emotions, your memories, and then your spirit, which is the spiritual part of you. Now remember, every man and woman is born with a human spirit. Whether you're saved or not, you still have a human spirit. When you die, the spirit of a man or a woman lives on forever. That's why when you die, if you're saved, you're going to live in heaven. If you die and you're not saved, you're going to live in hell because the spirit is eternal. Now, when you're not saved, your spirit has not been born again. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God regenerates your inner human spirit, and it makes it born again or eternal. And it cleanses it of all sins. It gives you a new nature. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. So when you die, you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and you'll be given a brand new glorified body. Now, knowing this, that, remember, the original spiritual battle is between Satan and God, and then Satan or Lucifer seduces Adam and Eve to get them to reject the word of God. They do that by eating from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, which activates the law of sin and death. The death force comes upon them, and they die, and they begin to pass sin on mankind from generation to generation. So the original spiritual battle was between Satan and God, and then Lucifer or Satan becomes the temporary god of this world because of Adam and Eve's sin, and we now live in the Babylonian system, or the world system, or the Luciferian system. Now, Satan is super intelligent. I mean, God is far more intelligent, but Satan is super intelligent. He understands technology, he understands chemistry, he understands the use of drugs and everything else. So one of the things that when God created the world, remember, God creates all these plants and vegetables and fruits and substances. Many are which are for our benefit and healing. But remember, nature has fallen. So in addition to the beneficial things of herbs and plants and seeds and stuff, nature has fallen, and there are some seeds and plants or whatever that could be used positively, but in the wrong hands used negatively. And some of them are just plain evil, like the ability to make heroin out of the opium crop is evil because it addicts people and it kills them. So going back to the earliest civilizations, you see that Satan introduces, and he did this on Mount Hermon when the 200 fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon, mated with human women, produced the Rephaim, and then the Nephilim. Those 200 fallen angels gave mankind all kinds of super advanced science, technology, medicine, and notice the word, the usage of herbs and other things, advanced mathematics, physics, etc., etc. So you know for a fact that because mankind was given the advanced usage and understanding of herbs and all kinds of other properties, that Satan gave to man a whole array of psychedelic mind-altering drugs, either through chemical potions or specifically through certain herbs and seeds and plants. Marijuana would be a case in point. And then how you prepare them, etc. So very quickly, man began to develop a whole bunch of, at that time, herbal-based mind-altering drugs that had the impact of things like marijuana, hashish, LSD, magic mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, and all kinds of mind-altering drugs. Now, the reason Satan did this is because Satan is all about opening up demonic portals, which act as a gateway for demonic entities to move in from the invisible realm or spiritual world or another dimension into the physical world. And Lucifer knows how to do this with technology, science, but also botany, herbs, chemicals, medicine, science, and technology. So, going back to the ancient civilizations, you had the children of Israel that were following God, but the rest of the nations were pagan nations, like the nations in Canaan. And they were genetically a hybrid race of fallen angels and human women. Okay, therefore they were, in a sense, a race that could not be saved, because only people that are genuinely human can be saved. A man or a woman who's the byproduct of interspecies breeding between fallen angel and human woman is not fully human. Therefore, he is or she is naturally evil because they can't be saved, because they have the demonic DNA in them. So these ancient super civilizations, if you read their worship ceremonies, like in Canaan, they're worshiping Satan by under different names, like Baal, or the female Satan, known as Ashtaroth, and all these other gods and pagan gods and goddesses. And notice also that the actual ritual ceremonies themselves were satanic and evil, because they centered around breaking the law of God, immoral practices, evil practices, the taking of mind-altering drugs, playing like bombastic, evil, tribal rock and roll music designed to put you into an altered state of consciousness or a trance state. And then while you're under the trance state, while you're taking these psychedelic drugs, you're opening a portal in your soul or spirit that allows the entrance of demonic deception and demons to come in so that you behave like a demon because you've been possessed by a demon because of the satanic rituals. And then you do things like burning your own babies alive on the altars of Baal, or killing your babies on the altars of Ashtaroth, who was a goddess of sexual and immorality, and you're taking psychedelic drugs and human sacrifice and doing all this evil. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that there are a number of things involved. A portal can be created through a variety of ways. Sometimes it's technology, like in the case of the Stargate, the Tower of Babel. Sometimes it's through ritual, breaking God's word and commandments and taking psychedelic drugs and doing perverse and abominable actions. But what that does is it opens a portal. That's what this whole third eye thing is about that you see on the back of the U.S. dollar. That third eye thing is an eye of your spirit man or woman. Okay? Very important. The third eye in all these ancient religions is an eye that it's a third eye. Your two physical eyes allow you to see the physical world. The third eye allows you to see the invisible world where the demons inhabit. And certain psychedelic drugs can activate the use of the third eye. So Satan entices man to take these substances which allow him or her to see into the invisible world, communicate with demons, and then if they get into it long enough, they can receive demonic possession. So a portal is opened in the body mind soul triune composition of man, and by doing certain satanic rituals, taking certain psychedelic drugs, you receive a demon or demons. So it's just it's a satanic tool. Very important to understand that. Now, that doesn't mean that certain medicines, that doesn't mean that certain drugs that affect the mind cannot be beneficial to the mind. But just the random use of psychedelic mind-altering drugs, of which there are thousands, it usually creates a portal which allows for the entrance of demons and demonic possession. How do we know that? Because when we see the fruit of a person's life after they've ingested psychedelic mind-altering drugs, what you see is the fruit of evil. Okay? So, it's a portal. Now, here's where it is essential to grasp this. When you read about Charles Manson and the Manson family and the use of psychedelic drugs and music and stuff, and I have the entire secret account of the Charles Manson family in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. I talk about Sharon Tate, how Roman Polanski, the director of Rosemary's Baby was a Satanist. Sharon Tate was a Satanist. She was killed in Benedict Canyon by members of the Manson family while she was pregnant. She was a Satanist. There was an entire satanic underground flourishing in Hollywood, flourishing in Manhattan. Roman Polanski, the famous director, was a Satanist. He was arrested for sexually assaulting, I think, a 13-year-old and sent out of the U.S. But he shot this famous film called Rosemary's Baby in the Dakota Hotel, the same hotel that John Lennon lived in, who was heavily involved in the occult, and where John Lennon was assassinated as he was exiting the Dakota, famous Dakota apartment building, which is right across the street from Central Park. Now, that movie, when you read the accounts, is filled with all kinds of demonic and satanic messages and occurrences. And I talk about all this and reveal information you've probably never heard of in your entire life. And you say, well, what does this have to do with me? Everything. Because you see, when you look at contemporary pop, hip-hop, rock and roll musicians, and those in the 60s and 70s, and I explain all of this in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, you will read that singers like Beyoncé, she's praising openly in her lyrics Roman Polanski by just changing a couple of the sounding of his name. But she's singing all about Roman Polanski like he's a hero. What's the connection? She probably wasn't even born when Roman Polanski was around. Why is Jay-Z interested in Roman Polanski? What's the connection? The connection is Satanism. Because Beyoncé and Jay-Z and a lot of the other artists, Katy Perry and many others, have giant Illuminati symbols all over their videos, satanic symbols all over their videos. Katy Perry, supposedly raised by born-again Christian parents who were Pentecostal preachers, supposedly. I'm not going to reveal everything I know about that, because I had a long conversation with Katy Perry's father. I'm not going to reveal private information. Just to say that there's this occult explosion revolving around Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist, who came from Britain, whose face is on the Beatles album cover, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. There's an entire secret, and the Beach Boys, there's an entire secret satanic connection going on. And I talk all about it in my book, Prophecy of the Future of America. Because I live, see, the Holy Spirit guides me in my research. I lived up on Lookout Mountain, which is off of Laurel Canyon, and the very street that I lived on, and I had no idea about it before I moved there. It turns out that many of these high-level occult, satanic rock and roll groups and individuals and personalities lived one or two houses or five houses down from my house up in Laurel Canyon. I didn't know that. I didn't know about the secret Lookout Mountain mind control laboratory that was there since the 40s. I found it by accident when I was hiking, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a cult compound. I didn't know Timothy Leary lived right down the street from me until I bumped into him in an exercise club. I mean, there's stuff that I left out of the book that's mind-blowing. The amount of satanic people and filmmakers and directors and rock and roll groups that lived up there, and strange occurrences, strange caves, strange ritual sites that I won't go into here. But, well, I'll drop that for a moment. You need to read A Prophecy of the Future of America, because it's connected to NASA. It's connected to Aleister Crowley, who was connected to NASA. It was connected to the founder of JPL, Jack Parsons, who was connected to L. Ron Hubbard, who supposedly was busting open this secret satanic occult between the founder of JPL, who was a famous Satanist named Jack Parsons. And, you know, I would lecture about this for decades, write about it in my books, because it all integrates with Bible prophecy. And, as usual, Christians and pastors would, you know, try to dismiss me as a conspiracy theorist. But now there's some huge episodic television show which just laid out the very story that I wrote about in my book as factual in a very hit series on episodic television. Why are these big superstars to your children's generation singing about Satan, singing about Aleister Crowley, singing about Beyonce, singing about Roman Polanski, the director and Satanist? And, you know, the Beatles, they weren't such a bunch of innocent guys. While John Lennon is singing this anthem to a one-world government, where we have no countries, no nations to die for, no religion, no flag, no patriotism, no God, no heaven, only sky above. That's like word for word, the anthem of the satanic New World Order. But secretly, at the same time, he is practicing Edgar Cayce's occult practices, and he's a heroin addict that lives in the Dakota Building. You see, there's so many mysteries, and I help you to uncover them, because only when you have knowledge that's power, can you be free from this stuff. So, in a final summary, you need to know the truth, because we're not talking about isolated people, isolated instances, isolated substances. What we're talking about is for you to develop a biblical worldview that's very powerful, where you understand that Lucifer has a game. This is not to glorify Lucifer. This is to glorify God. That Lucifer has a game plan that began when he took over planet Earth and became the temporary god of this world. And that's what Mystery Babylon is. It's this Luciferian control system. But 99.9% of evangelical Christians are so dead spiritually that they don't even know what that is, because they don't read their Bibles. Now, I expose this. I give you research. I give you scripture verses. I give you strong Bible teaching as to why God wants you to know about it, so you can be victorious and be an active, victorious participant in the last days. So I'm going to give you an assignment. Obviously, it's a voluntary assignment, but if you were sitting in my prophecy class and I was your professor, I would give you as part of your assignment to read the following books, all what you can get at paulmcguire.us. Why? So I can make money on books? No. By the time we do all the processing and everything else on these books, the amount of profit, first of all, we don't care about profit, we're a ministry. They barely pay for themselves, but they will teach you in detail, and that will prepare you. You need to read Conquering the Matrix, plain and simple. You have got to understand what's going on. So many people that you know are under mind control, or they're in some kind of trance state or some kind of subtle hypnotic state. I would venture to say many of the people listening to me right now, you are under the influence of some kind of subtle mind control state or hypnotic state. You say, no, that's impossible. I'm a Christian. Well, let's just take something simple as modern advertising. If I was to open your refrigerator and see what was in your pantry, I guarantee you that the majority of stuff that you purchased, you did so because of a subconscious, subliminal command by some TV commercial you watched. But it gets deeper than that. So you need to read my book, Conquering the Matrix. Absolutely. and then you need to pass the truth of it on to others. You need to read Mass Awakening. Why? Because I have the first-hand documented accounts of the men who devised these technologies and how they laid out a plan very specifically to build a new world order, that's their words, which consists of a one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, which is rising in our time period. But you go to the average church and you get a third grade sermon, you'll have no idea what's happening. So read Mass Awakening, read Conquering the Matrix, and then you need to read A Prophecy of the Future of America. Yes. Because I explain things to you based on factual research. I mean, it talks about Michael Jackson. You'd be surprised the relationships here. What really happened in NASA. Why they really assassinated President John F. Kennedy. In the so-called news networks you watch in your entire lifetime. Oh, I know you've seen some documentaries on the assassination of President Kennedy. I know that. How many people do you know personally that have any clue as to who truly assassinated John F. Kennedy and why and what that has to do with Bible prophecy? How many? I don't even have to answer the question because I know. I have a chapter here in A Prophecy of the Future of America. And this is all backed up with and connected to references to the scripture. See, I don't believe, I was telling this to my wife the other day when we went to this church, and I don't mean to be disparaging, but the guy was giving a third grade sermon for third graders. And what I said to her was, this pastor, these people, they are not prepared for what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future. So, for example, in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, I just want to read you some of the subtitles of the chapters that I deal with that are all connected, by the way, to the United Nations and other global organizations. In A Prophecy of the Future of America, here's a subchapter. The invisible occult hierarchy in operation today. How many people do you know, Christians, pastors, have any idea of the factual reality that there's an invisible occult hierarchy fully operational in our world today? I would guess that less than 1% know. Yet God wants them to know. Here's something else. Deliberately orchestrated race wars are being socially engineered right now, have been socially engineered for the last 40 years. And the game plan is a full-scale eruption of blacks fighting whites, you know, Hispanics fighting blacks, so on and so forth. Why? Because they believe in divide and conquer. They believe in the Hegelian dialectic, which is to bring about a new world order out of chaos. You see, they wrote their strategies down. And so, all the chaos that you see on TV, all the news coverage that stirs up racial hatred because you see somebody of another race causing problems, and then there, if you watch media that African Americans watch, It's to blame the white people. People are being raised up because the globalist elite, their age-long strategy is called order out of chaos. The contemporary word for that is manufactured crisis. Your children are going to live in a world where this is going to erupt. Or let's get more academic, because it's in the books, A Prophecy of the Future of America. All of the political activists, including those that work for both political parties, they are privately, while they're dumbing you down and your kids down, they're privately using sophisticated social media technology on the internet called cognitive infiltration. You don't know what it is, do you? You need to know what it is. I'm not saying that it's a put down. You need to know what it is, and you need to teach them what it is. And cognitive infiltration is the usage of social media and the internet to deliberately manufacture racial and ethnic hatred in order to produce mass violence, inner city race wars, and intense racial conflict. This is from my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And then I'll continue reading from my book. The Cloward Piven strategy developed by two Columbia University professors is to create manufactured crisis through overwhelming the system. All that is needed is to seed and develop the mass consciousness of the American public with a constant stream of racial injustices targeted at every major ethnic and racial group. In this kind of psyops war, every racial group will experience an intense level of wrongful, prejudicial treatment from other radical and ethnic groups and authorities. The unresolved anger and hatred is systematically built up in the minds of tens of millions of people until a specific incident and a series of incidents provokes a flashpoint. Again, I'm reading you a quote from my book, Conquering the Matrix. Now listen. The social media and the mainstream media are stepping on the accelerator by continually depicting inflammatory racial incidents and supposed racial injustices. The planned result will be a social explosion of riots, violence, looting, and killing. The crisis is ignited to deliberately create a situation where government troops are necessary to keep the peace. And then the next chapter, I deal with the lesson of Charles Manson. You think Charles Manson was just some kind of wacko with a beard with a swastika carved into his forehead? Then you don't know anything about Charles Manson. Who do you think created Charles Manson? Was Charles Manson just the spontaneous corruption of a guy that was spent most of his adult years in prison and was raised in the social system? Is that what you think Charles Manson is about? You think that's all it is to Charles Manson's story? You think Charles Manson was just some nutty hippie cult leader with a swastika he carved in his forehead and then supposedly he had his followers brutally murder the actress Sharon Tate in her home in 1969? You think that's all there is to it? You've heard of MKUltra. I deal with MKUltra in Conquering the Matrix and Mass Awakening in A Prophecy of the Future of America. Charles Manson claimed that he was hearing subliminal messages when he was listening to the Beatles' White Album. And that when he was listening to these subconscious subliminal messages in the Beatles' White Album, he heard about an apocalyptic race war that Charles Manson called Helter Skelter after the Beatles song. You think he was just crazy? You think he was just hallucinating about these subliminal messages? Or could there have been deeply embedded subconscious subliminal messages? I'm asking a question because if you don't know the answer, you don't know what's going to happen. Most of your friends I have no idea what's going to happen. Now, I go far deeper than this. Far deeper than this. I mean, far deeper than this. Not to scare, not to sensationalize, but to prepare people. Let me see. You've been brainwashed to think Charles Manson was just some wacko lunatic. Well, he may have been a wacko lunatic, but there was a lot more to him than that. I'm going to read a quote from Charles Manson, not exactly an authoritative source, but he's explaining. He was on trial, okay, and in the 1970 trial for the Tate-LaBianca murders, Charles Manson testified privately. They didn't want the public to hear this. As to the meaning of the Beatles song Helter Skelter, he said at that trial, the private trial, quote, "It means confusion. Literally, it doesn't mean war with anyone. It doesn't mean that some people are going to kill other people. Helter Skelter is confusion." Confusion means chaos. Charles Manson continued, "It is a conspiracy that the music is telling the youth to rise up against the establishment because the establishment is rapidly destroying things. Is that a conspiracy? The music speaks to you every day, but you are too deaf, dumb, and blind to even listen to the music." "It's not my conspiracy," Manson said. "It is not my music. I hear what it relates to me. It says rise and it says kill. Why blame it on me? I didn't write the music." Now, the point is, you could listen to the music and say, "Oh, I don't hear that." Well, maybe, and I'm not telling you to do this. Remember, psychedelic drugs are a portal to the demonic. Maybe if you're taking psychedelic drugs, which are mind-altering, perception-altering drugs, and maybe if you're listening really carefully and you're open, and after you've opened your mind up to the demonic, which I am not telling you to do, I'm telling you not to do it, but Manson did it, maybe demonic powers, because remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood or people, but it's against the principalities, against the powers, the dark unseen forces of Satan in heavenly places. You see, maybe when you've opened yourself up because you're taking powerful drugs like LSD and mescaline and marijuana, and then you're listening to the Beatles music, maybe when you have invited demonic influence in your life in one way or another, maybe at that point you're no longer hearing the normal lyrics. Maybe you now have, for lack of better words, by violating God's law and toying around and welcoming the demonic, which the Bible says is real, maybe you have accidentally downloaded or activated some kind of satanic receiver which has the ability to cause the listener to hear not deeper than the subconscious. It has the ability to cause the listener who's high on LSD or whatever to hear the satanic embedded messages. I know that's heavy for a lot of you. I mean, it's too heavy for a lot of you. What does the Bible says? What does the Bible say? "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Right there, God tells us that the intellectual emotion of fear is not simply an intellectual emotion. It's telling us that the root source of fear is not intellectual, biochemical, emotional process. It's a spirit. That's what the Bible's telling us. So maybe when you've opened your consciousness through mind-altering drugs, the doors of perception, this is what Aldous Huxley said in his book, Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception. And he was the author of Brave New World. He was the intellectual visionary for the New World Order who said that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, men and women can be programmed to learn and love their slavery. He was a genius. But in his book, Heaven and Hell, The Doors of Perception, he said, if you take the psychedelic drug mescaline, you will open up the doors in your mind of perception. The rock and roll group, The Doors, named their group, The Doors, after Huxley's book, Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception. So maybe only after you've opened the doors of perception through psychedelic drugs, it's only then that you're able to hear communication from a spiritual dimension that somebody who has not opened the doors of perception cannot hear. So you can say, well, you have to be crazy to hear that. Well, maybe that's true. But if you ingest psychedelic drugs, in effect, you've turned on a satanic receiver which has the ability to perceive commands, words, ideas that bypass the natural mind, because it's on a demonic level. You say that's far-fetched. No, it's not. It's far-fetched to you because you're ignorant and not educated. I'm not talking about the listener of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm talking about your friends with the big mouths. It's conspiracy theory to them because they believe in the flat earth. They're not up to speed with science. So Manson, who's hardly, you know, a respected intellect, he's talking about what's really in the music, the Beatles. Now, in case you write this off, you need to stop immediately and listen to facts. First of all, Bible prophecy, the prophecies of Jesus Christ, say this. In the signs of the times, which is Jesus Christ, is talking about the signs that are coming prophetically before his return, Jesus specifically warned there will be a sign in the last days called race wars. And I'll quote him, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." The word nation that Jesus Christ used comes from the Greek word ethnos, which means ethnic or race. Jesus Christ was warning us that in the last days there would be race wars. I have all this written down for you in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America and Conquering the Matrix. So Christ is warning us that in the last days there will be race wars. Now, in terms of scientific history, and I have this, I document it in my book, Conquering the Matrix. I document it in Mass Awakening. I document it in A Prophecy of the Future of America. And I document it in The Day the Dollar Died. It is a scientific historical fact that Great Britain and the United States over 200 years ago began to heavily develop what is called the science of scientific mind control, persuasion, and propaganda. And that there exists a highly scientific organization called the Tavistock Institute in Great Britain, whose first director was Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, psychological theory. And the Tavistock Institute was evolved into a mind control brainwashing institute. And I can prove to you, and I've written about it, extensively documented in my book, Conquering the Matrix, Mass Awakening and A Prophecy of the Future of America, that the Tavistock Institute was developed, and among their top secret projects, which was carried out in conjunction with, some people say, the CIA, They artificially created the counterculture revolution of the 1970s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And they used the formula that I also document in great detail in the books I just gave you. They used the formula of the Nazi mind control scientists in their MK Ultra program. Now, MK Ultra is the scientific program the Nazis developed and utilized that the Bourne Identity movies allude to, that the movie Red Sparrow talks about, starring Nicole Kidman, and the Manchurian Candidate movie. There was two of them. The latest Manchurian Candidate movie was Denzel Washington. MKUltra is using pain, drugs, and hypnosis to develop mind-controlled programs, sex slaves, assassins, and presidents who are under mind control. 10,000 Nazi mind control scientists were brought into the United States around 1948 after World War II under a secret classified operation called Operation Paperclip, where 10,000 Nazi mind control scientists were smuggled into the U.S. and given the most high-level positions in think tanks, laboratories, and they replicated the mind control program MKUltra in the United States full scale. That's a fact. In fact, if you want to go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, I have an article on this. Two articles right on the front page for free. And they're very, very heavily researched, heavily documented, very well-written articles with impeccable research. If you go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us. The pictures have, the articles are well-researched. One was just written. And you, it's free, okay? And you can read the basis for a lot of my research in these articles. One article, I mean, I spent a lot of time. These are free articles. I could charge money for them. I don't. I give them to you for free. One article is like, I don't know, it's like 3,500. It's a huge article. It's not boring, but it'll give you this. It give you the scientific and historical documentation for what I'm asserting, and you cannot disprove it because the facts, the documentation I've provided is overwhelmingly true. So, you see, if you're going to be preaching a sermon like this guy that I was listening to his sermon, you know, on Sunday, a sermon for third graders, you know, there's some Bible verses in it. Okay, I'm going to, you know what, I've had it. I just had it. This program's going unusually long, but you know what, I'm tired of being, I'm trying to be nice, I'm trying to be compassionate, I'm trying to be a diplomat, and I'm not going to discard any of that because Christ has called us to be wise and winning of souls. And I'm not here to attack or put down my Christian brothers and sisters, even in the ministry. I actually feel sorry for the guy because he's been fooled. He's been deceived. That's what the apostasy is. He's been deceived into thinking that his church will grow if he preaches a dumbed-down gospel. But my conscience will not allow me to sit here silently in my studio and hide from you the real truth that's happening. So here it is. Everything that you've been told about reality, the structure of America, and the structure of the world is essentially false. Let's start from that. I'm not going to apologize for a thing that I say. Why? Because I spent 45 years researching this, and the people that criticize me and try to challenge what I say, when I actually talk to them, because usually they hide. They're afraid. They're afraid to come out from the shadows and debate me. You know why they're afraid? Because they know they'll lose the argument. And for me, it's not an ego thing. It's about stopping the lies and bringing forth the truth. So I've been studying this subject matter for 45 years and living through it. And I know, based on my research, and this is totally supported by Scripture, by the way, there exists a shadow government, a deep state, whatever you want to call it, that consists of a global elite that see themselves like God kings, people like Rockefeller, and their goal is to take the current population of planet Earth and as fast as they possibly can to kill off one way or another about 4 billion people in a very quick period of time. That is the secret agenda behind a lot of the environmental globalist agendas. They are in the process of killing off 3 to 4 billion people as fast as they can. That is not a conspiracy theory. That's not a paranoid thought. That is the truth. Read history. I'm not going to even get into the historical facts. The historical facts, the historical quotes are overwhelming. And they want the masses in a hypnotic trance. A subtle but hypnotic trance. They want the masses under scientific mind control. They've spent the last 100 years scientifically dumbing down the masses in the educational system and the media so that the average person in America and around the world can't even have a coherent, linear, logical, critical thinking thought. And so they're winning. Now, how this integrates with Bible prophecy, and that's what makes it all important, is Jesus Christ warned that this would happen in the last days. Read the book of Revelation. This will end up with the return of Mystery Babylon, the rise of Antichrist, etc., etc. So now, we are at the final hour. Now, most Christians, because they don't read the Bible, they don't study to show themselves approved. They don't rightly divide the word of God, have no idea what they're supposed to be doing before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible, as I've explained in countless hours of radio programs and books, Jesus said, "Occupy until I come, bring in the last day's soul harvest, make disciples of all nations, win souls to Jesus Christ, and bring and win as many people into the kingdom of God as possible before Christ returns." That's the mission of Paul McGuire Ministries and me. In order to do that, you have to know what you're up against. God has given us the power and the wisdom to do this. This ministry is devoted to that end. But that unfortunately necessitates and requires that we expose the deep nature of the demonic deception, which the Bible calls the last days apostasy or the great delusion. It necessitates that we expose the great delusion and the last days apostasy that is on the church and paralyzing the church from action. I don't like that. It's not a ministry I would have ever chosen, but light, only light drives out the darkness. Now, you can do whatever you want to do, but I have chosen, as for me and my family, to serve the Lord. That means I am committed to doing what God called me to do for the purpose of saving souls, making disciples for Jesus, until Christ comes. So, I come to you as your brother in Christ humbly. You've heard a great deal on today's program. But God, right now, God Almighty has given us a glorious window of opportunity to reach the hearts and minds of hundreds of millions. The fact is that door of opportunity may close. So we need to preach the gospel quickly as this door is open and preserve our freedoms by being involved. So I'm asking you to join me. And the way you can do that is this. The primary strategy for effectively accomplishing any goal was revealed to us by God, as I shared with you in Genesis 11, when God comes down to judge the first global government, the first New World Order. The first thing that God teaches us is he says, notice, the people are one, and the people are acting in unity. Anything they purpose to do, nothing will be withheld from them. What God was telling us is that this principle, whether it's employed by the wicked or whether it's employed by the righteous, will allow that group of people to accomplish any goal, no matter how impossible or improbable it seems to be. And it works for the godly and it works for the unrighteous. In Babylon, they built a global government, global religion, and global economic system. God came down and judged it, but God underscored the fact that they were able to produce Babylon at the Tower of Babel because they came together as one, they functioned as one, and then God said, because they're acting as one, functioning as one, nothing that they plan or purpose to do will be blocked or withheld from them. Any goal they choose to do in their oneness, they will accomplish. That's a law of the kingdom. So I'm coming to you as your brother in Jesus Christ and saying to you, based on the proper understanding of the Word of God, that when we as the body of Christ, the remnant church, the true believers, when we choose to come together as one, not fake, false, ecumenical oneness, which is based on spiritual deception. When we come together as one under the lordship of Christ and the lordship of his word, and we continue to function as one, the Lord tells you and me that nothing we plan to do will be withheld from us by the Lord. Nothing. Now, Bible prophecy is very clear. Certain things happen once the tribulation begins. We have not entered the 7-year tribulation period. Therefore, God has given us a mandate, winning souls, making disciples. All of that is doable. We can turn the tide of the spiritual battle in America. Yes, we can. And don't give me this nonsense, we can't, because you don't have not studied the Word of God. You have no biblical foundation to refute what I just said. We can turn the tide of the spiritual battle in America. We can win hundreds of millions of souls to Jesus Christ. We can be salt and light to every nation on the earth. We can make disciples of all nations of the earth. We can win souls, including recapturing the souls of our children and grandchildren who have walked away from the Lord. If we will do this, we decide, God, we're no longer going to live selfishly. We're going to function as one. And then we're going to act as one. One purpose, one people under Jesus, and we're going to carry out our plan as one. That means there's no room for selfishness. Everything has to be consecrated to the one goal we share. And then the Lord says, nothing we purpose to do or plan to do together will be withheld from us. We'll be able to do it. What? We can reclaim America for Christ until the tribulation period. We can see a biblical revival. We can win hundreds of millions of people to Jesus Christ. And this constant triumph of the enemy, which has occurred over the last 100 years because of the apathy and disobedience of God's people, who have literally, because of their disobedience to God's word, where he specifically said, if you stop the teaching of my prophetic word, if you pervert the book of Revelation, if you stop teaching the book of Revelation and violations of Deuteronomy 28, there will be a curse on you. There has been a curse on our nation because of our disobedience. We have to address the curse, which means to repent of it, to change our ways. We do that, and now we take the land. And I'm very serious about that. We have to think supernaturally. We have to act supernaturally. That means every problem you face in your own personal life has to be perceived by you thinking supernaturally, acting supernaturally. So I'm asking you to join me, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. We are going to change the tide of the battle spiritually. We are going to fulfill the Great Commission. We are going to win souls for Christ. We are going to make disciples of all nations. We're going to turn the tide of the spiritual battle. And we're going to undo this mess of Christ's people being beaten into oblivion over the last 150 years. We're going to change it. Why? Because God's word gives us permission to change it. The only time that there's the transition is when the seven-year tribulation period begins, and it has not begun yet. God has a window of opportunity open for us. Obviously, he expects us to walk through it. So I'm asking you to become one with me in Jesus, one with me in the Word of God, and to dedicate yourself, as I have dedicated myself, to fulfilling God's call on our lives. And out of that oneness, all the things that I just described can happen and will happen. And so I'm asking you to become one with me as a prayer warrior and intercessor to pray for me, my family, and the fruit and the results of this ministry. Number two, to go before the Lord and stay before the Lord until he convicts you, because he's speaking, you need to listen. You have to put your talents and abilities and giftings on the altar. Many, many, many of you are very sophisticated when it comes to social media and many things to do with communication and video and technology. You need to step up to the plate and volunteer and help us get the job done, period. Number three, I want to thank those of you that have been faithful to us financially. You've given us the finances to move into position to do what we're doing. And I want to thank you most of all, like I would thank everybody else listening. I thank you most of all for not playing church. This is my deepest thanks, by the way. I want to thank you most of all for not playing church and for going to God directly out of your own will and asking him to tell you what to do, and then you chose to obey the Lord. Even if he told you to do something out of the box, you did it. I want to thank God for you. Together we will be one, and together nothing we purpose to do will be withheld from us. It's going to happen. It is happening. I don't have time right now to give you the latest updates of certain things that we're doing, but they're phenomenal, and I'll be announcing it soon. So join me, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Send this program to those people that need to hear it. And you know what? It's over. This preaching to the third grade, this victim mentality, this being afraid of this and being afraid of that, I want nothing to do with it. I'm not afraid. I'm tired of hearing pastors preach fear sermons based on fear, or saying or not saying things because they're afraid. I'm not afraid. How can I be afraid? The Spirit of God is in me. And if the Spirit of God is in you, there is no fear. I'm not afraid. I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with faith. I am not going to fellowship with so-called Christian leaders who are afraid. I don't want to be infected with their unbelief. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf or whatever it is. I know nothing about baking. Together we'll take the land. Just like Joshua and Caleb said, they offered God a good report. You and I are going to offer God a good report, and we're going to take the land. Totally, all of it. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.